Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Locker Room. I'm your host, Tommy Tellerino, and alongside me today, as always, is the number one fan of the Luka Doncic fan club, Jordan Navarro. Jordan, how are you doing?
Having an identity crisis. I'm stuck between rooting for my childhood team, the Chicago Bulls, and rooting for an organization like the Dallas Mavericks, and watching Luka, my favorite player, Mark Cuban, my favorite owner, and Kyrie Irving. He's just on the team now.
I was going to say, be careful about what you say right now. We don't need any bad publicity.
Listen, Tommy, we don't talk about politics on this show. We don't talk about, you know, anything like that. I would love to have Deshaun Watson on the show if we're talking about controversial figures. If he ever wanted to come on and talk, I would love to speak to him.
Get a few things off the chest.
I have some questions.
Yeah,
I got some questions. I just want to ask him.
Well, I forget what NFL player it was, but I don't know if you saw the tweet. They asked where the best massage places are in Houston. And Deshaun Watson didn't answer him, which I'm shocked about.
Yeah, you know, just he's got that knowledge. He's a connoisseur of massages, one would say. And, you know, to his elite, his top tier opinion, I feel like he should share that Okay. We're not gonna do this.
I don't know where you're going with this. But you know, it's been a couple weeks. Jordan is digging himself out of a hole right now after a couple Sundays ago. But the Super Bowl is here this Sunday. Finally.
You said we weren't going to talk about this.
I'm sorry. I know what I have
as
to
far,
do.
As far as I'm concerned, the Super Bowl doesn't exist. It's not being played.
Oh, you pulling the Nick Bosa, but for other reasons?
It doesn't exist. It's not being played.
I'm sorry we have to do this.
As Christian McCaffrey said, I hope both teams lose.
We have to do this. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about it.
It has to be done.
We can't dodge it.
We have to talk about it.
Fine. There's other stuff that we can talk about.
I know there is, but it's the Super Bowl, man. We'd be talking about it if San Fran was in here.
Whatever.
I'm sorry. It has to be done.
I'm not upset.
You are upset. I'm sorry. I don't know what you want me to do. I'm only one man. I wasn't on the team. I didn't let you down.
Neither were our quarterbacks. Our quarterbacks were not. They were also not on the team that day.
I know. It's okay. But it's going to be Kansas City and the Philadelphia Eagles. The first game was not – well, we're not going to talk about it. I mean, everyone knows what happened. But the second game was exciting. Kansas City gets some revenge on Cincinnati. It is not Burrowhead, as Travis Kelce would say, to those jabronis out there. But I think we're in for an exciting Super Bowl. What do you think?
Again, I hope both teams lose. Now, on a serious note, it should be a pretty good game. I don't know how to feel about the Eagles. I mean, I didn't, but, you know, they're there. Congratulations, they beat us. The Chiefs, you know, they had a good game against Cincinnati. Got some revenge, like you said, but it was also, you know, a little bit sloppy. Joe Burrow, you know, he kind of did his thing. They had some chances that they didn't take advantage of. But Patrick Mahomes, you know, his legend grows. He played amazing. Defending at home turf, you know, is no longer Burrowhead. And Travis Kelce, he told the mayor of Cincinnati to shut your mouth and know your role. And I hope he tells that to Jason Kelce on Sunday, you know, and brings him home. I'm going to root for the Chiefs. I'm going to root for my homeboy.
I see what you did there. I see what you did. Yeah, I mean, I was I was shocked with how little pressure Patrick Mahomes got in the last game from the defensive line. Just because, you know, Cincinnati, it's not the best defensive line, but they still create a lot of pressure, I feel like. He stood in there, didn't have to scramble. I don't know how the ankle's feeling coming up to this week. They haven't talked about it as much. What is Philly going to do different that Cincinnati didn't do?
Well, I mean, we talked about it off camera a little bit. I've never seen, well, I have seen, but to this extent, I've never seen a quarterback be the reason a team wins so many games. They got rid of Tyreek Hill, and the offense is better by almost every metric. I don't know if there's anything you can do right now with the way he's playing. There's not a formula for going in and stopping them, Tommy. I mean, you go in, they have one weapon, discernible, like this is a top-tier elite guy, Travis Kelce. We've seen the past two playoffs, teams try to key in on him. He gets what he wants. Go ask Buffalo. You know what I mean? Like, he gets what he wants. Okay, sure, you stop Travis Kelce. There's no Tyreek Hill, so you should be, you know, you would think, okay, we're fine. We'll let Marquez Valdes-Scantling beat you. So Cincinnati wanted to do. He beat him. We'll let Jerick McKinnon beat us. He beat him. Isaiah Pacheco, he beat him. Patrick Mahomes is just, he is right now the greatest ceiling raiser in the NFL and the greatest floor raiser in the NFL, and it is not close. Joe Burrow's amazing. Amazing. I think he's the second best quarterback. There's still a gap there. We saw it on one ankle, Tommy. So I don't know what Philly does. I think you have to go in and just say, we talked about it last episode. It's almost like the Patriots now. Something's going to break their way. They're going to get a turnover because this defense just plays out of their mind in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes is going to do some crazy play. You know, he's going to run around in the backfield for 15 seconds and throw it across his body blindfolded to Travis Kelce. We just have to live with that. We have to execute on every single play. You have to almost play perfect to beat the Chiefs right now in every facet of the game.
Their defense stepped up, I thought, in the Cincinnati game. They had a big pick in the fourth quarter. And the play, it didn't result in a pick. But there was a deep ball to Jamar Chase, and they brought so much pressure that it ended up hitting Jamar Chase in the head. I don't know if you're ever going to see that again by any other team. I mean, Jamar Chase looked a little silly on the route. Didn't look good. But
I mean, Joe Burrow just, he couldn't get the ball into his, like, he just couldn't get it to him, which is crazy to say. Joe Burrow just couldn't step up.
Which he's known for that. Going back to college, like that's he's Joe Cool. He stays calm.
Yep.
But I think what's different about this Chiefs team, at least the wide receiver running back room, for a while, this Chiefs teams would just be fast. That's it. You get the ball in their hand, they run. I think they have more playmakers now. You know, Travis Kelce, he is a playmaker. He does a lot more than tight ends in this league. He's basically a big wide receiver. Another one, Isaiah Pacheco. You get the ball in the hand, he makes a move. We saw in the last game, he got a couple crucial first downs where he extended the play. Kadarius Toney, another playmaker. He hasn't been healthy a lot, but when he has the ball in his hand, he makes moves and creates positive plays. I think that's what's different between these two offenses that we've seen in the past from the Chiefs and this year, where I think it's elevated a little bit more. Because I think it's throughout the board. Like, when Tyreek Hill was there, you kind of was like, okay, we have to game plan around Tyreek Hill and Kelce. And they kind of, with Hill, it's like, don't let him beat you over the top. You kind of that with most of these receivers.
It was, we can't play single high because Tyreek Hill is going to destroy us. And then we're going to play, you know, cover two, and Travis Kelce is going to eat us up in the middle. And you look at it now, and we, I think it was last year, we talked about making this Chiefs team drive down the field. You can't let them play blitzkrieg football and beat you super quick in one play. I think we saw Patrick Mahomes struggle last year, you know, when they were trying to start to build methodical drives. We saw him struggle. We saw people, you know, saying, oh, you know, the league has figured him out. Stop that. Andy Reid has finally gotten players. Again, they're not amazing. Juju's, he's okay. Solid. Probably a wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2 on most teams. Kadarius Toney, like we said, when the guy has the ball in his hands, electricity. He is like a lightning bolt in a bottle. He can't stay healthy for anything. He hurts himself. I feel like he's almost too fast for his own good. But when he has the ball in his hand, electric. Travis Kelce, amazing. Catches everything. Can beat you over the top still because at 33, he hasn't really slowed down that much. Then you got Marquez Valdes-Scantling. This guy, who could only run straight lines with Aaron Rodgers, has kind of diversified his route tree a little bit. Now, he's still not good, but he's a deep ball threat. Justin Watson, deep ball threat. So, Andy Reid has personnel here. And let's not forget Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon coming out of the backfield. Both of them can catch. They've gotten personnel that is okay with those methodical drives. They can get open in the middle of the field. Yeah, they don't have a Tyreek Hill. They're not going to beat you in one play. Not as much, but Justin Watson can still get behind you. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling can still get behind you. But they're much more comfortable just going down the field at their own pace and hitting smaller chunk plays. That's what we saw Patrick Mahomes struggle with last year, and now we're seeing him excel in that this year, and we're seeing this offense be unstoppable.
Going into the year, I didn't expect that. I thought there'd be at least somewhat of a little drop off by the offensive end, just because you're losing a wide receiver like Tyreek Hill, and he did amazing in Miami. So it's not like he's just a system player.
Yeah,
he's proven that he can do it on multiple teams. I think this defense will have a harder time though with Philly, just because Philly's offense is a little bit more dynamic than Cincinnati. I'm interested to see that matchup.
It's the Jalen Hurts factor.
Yeah.
You have, to me, the secondary on Kansas City is the weakest part, but these rookie corners have been playing outstanding. But the strength of that defense comes from Chris Jones and Frank Clark. And really that front four in general, but Chris Jones and Frank Clark specifically, they can take over a game. We saw what they did against Joe Burrow. They took over that game. They made him uncomfortable, and it forced some errors. Philly is ultra dynamic. They are going to put so much responsibility on your linebackers and on your defensive ends to hold that contain, and your linebackers have to hold Jalen Hurts. If you let them beat you with this read option RPO that they love to run, it's going to be an extremely long day for you. Jalen Hurts is magnificent at running this. He might be the best quarterback in the NFL at running RPOs. You can't let him beat you. We saw against the 49ers. Our linebackers, again, I can't really speak on the second half because our defense was gassed. But when we had a quarterback in the first half, our linebackers had so much responsibility on their shoulders. And it neutralized our biggest strength, sideline to sideline speed at the linebacker position, because you have to stay home against Jalen Hurts. You cannot bite on the running back. He's going to kill you if you do that. Not to mention, he can go over the top, extend plays. He can hit Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown off these same looks, off of the same plays. Their offense is ultra dynamic. And I feel like the 49ers kind of contained him in the first half. I feel like our defense obviously was better than the Chiefs. It's going to be a lot for the Chiefs to handle. And on paper, this matchup looks like it's going to be a shootout. So I feel like if the Chiefs don't come in prepared, or their defense kind of is lackadaisical against the RPOs and the read options, and They let Jalen Hurts get free. We're gonna be in for some fireworks in this game.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying that Kansas City is going to expose this pass secondary. I don't think they're going to get exposed for Philly's side. I think they do have a good pass secondary. Bradbury and Slay are great corners. I think it's going to be a difficult offense to overcome because Kansas City, the lowest they've scored this year is 17. It's going to be the best offense they've faced the whole year. I think the next best one they faced was Dallas. But Dallas put up a big I want to say it was like a 40-point game. But
yeah,
that's divisional. Divisional games, you kind of have to take into account, like, okay, they see him twice, so anything can happen in these games. But I think this is going to be the best matchup. The Kansas City playmakers versus this Eagles secondary.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we talked about that with the Niners and how the Niners, it's a completely different style where you're going to have to come down and tackle. Well, with the Chiefs, it's not like that. The Chiefs, you're not worrying about so much the individual playmakers. You're worrying about 15. You got to get him to the ground or force the ball out of his hands. That's the issue, and that's what he's so amazing at. We talk about Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson and all these guys extending plays. As fast and as agile as they are, they're not Patrick Mahomes. That's what's insane to me. You know, prime Aaron Rodgers would move around in the pocket, would extend plays, would make something out of nothing. He would do that and also be able to get out and run a little bit. Prime Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Mahomes does that 50 times better. He does things that a coach will look at and say, you should not be doing that. That's stupid. But it's not stupid because it's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, how many times, Tommy, have you seen him run around in the backfield for 10 seconds with nothing developing and then just out of nowhere throw something to the back of the end zone and it's a touchdown? That it's just like from some platform that he shouldn't be throwing it from, sidearm, shovel pass.
Throws it lefty.
Yeah, it's just nonsense. Just absolute nonsense. That's what you have to stop. That's what that secondary, you got to stay on your guys. When it becomes a scramble drill, it's on you. It's on the front four to get them down, but if the front four ain't getting them down, you're going to have to get rid of those opportunities down the field.
Which I think the front four, I don't think they're going to get to them like they got to Burrow. I mean, they got to Burrow like four times in the first quarter. Cincinnati's got, compared to the Philadelphia line, it's way worse, I think. Philadelphia's got a solid line. Lane Johnson's a little banged up, so I'm interested to see that matchup, see how he does. Let's see if he can actually not false start every play this game. But you brought up being able to reroute guys. Trent Dilfer wouldn't agree with you about Aaron Rodgers being able to do that, I will say.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think you're completely right. It's Patrick Mahomes is so dynamic. You can't really game plan around some of the stuff he does.
Listen, I was number one Tom Brady hater before I finally just admitted that he's the GOAT, because the argument is just it is what it is. I can't argue against him anymore. But what made me so upset watching Tom Brady was the media and how much they love him. It's the same thing with Mahomes, but I also hated the way Tom Brady played. I hated how methodical it was, how it seemed like every single time I just knew what was coming. Like, he was going to hit this check down, and that running back was going to get free for 15 yards no matter what. And it was the same drive every single time. Mahomes, the reason why, even though the media loves Mahomes, that's all they talk about, and I hate it. I can't stand it. It was nice when he first come and got into the league, but now that's all we do. And I get it. He's the poster boy now. I enjoy watching him play still because I never know what to expect. The guy, there's not a rule book for him. You know, you let Lamar Jackson get out of the pocket, he's running. You let Jalen Hurts get out of the pocket, he's running. You let Patrick Mahomes get out of the pocket, he could be doing 360 Derek Jeter throws from the sidelines. You have no idea what he's going to do.
I don't think we'll see that this week, but.
Oh, yeah, probably not. Yeah.
I mean, I love watching Brady with those slow, methodical drives. You didn't?
Yeah. No.
I'm glad you finally seen the light, though, with Brady. I remember we had some heated conversations about Brady being the GOAT. I remember. But anything else you want to add for this game before we go over like picks and stuff?
No, I'm taking the Chiefs, and I just hope it's a fun watch, and I hope the city of Philadelphia loses because I can't stand your fans. You are the most classless fan base in the entire nation of any sport, for every sport. Phillies fans are probably the most okay. The 76ers fans and Eagles fans and Flyers fans don't deserve happiness.
I'm 100%. Yeah, 100% with you. I saw some report saying, is Philly sports some of the greatest of all time as a sports city?
Well, and it is. Okay, they're that passionate. So, yeah, I agree that Philly, Boston, New York.
I was talking about teams, not fans.
Probably okay, teams are completely different. But fans, those fan bases are the most passionate, and I love the Philly fans for that. I don't hate Philly fans. I understand their passion. I understand that they're the most passionate. You being the most passionate does not take away from the fact that you're classless and that you are the biggest trolls on the planet and that most of your fan base does not know ball.
You're not wrong. But this game's a 1.5 favorite for Philly. I'm going Kansas City just because of, like, everything we just said. Like, you can't game plan around Patrick Mahomes. They get every break when and they need to. I've seen this script before, okay?
That's what I'm saying. It feels like the Patriots. Yeah. And, again, Philly is a great team. Philly could easily win this game. I've been saying that every time we bring up Philly outside of the Giants game. But for the Niners game, I said it wouldn't surprise me if Philly won. Didn't surprise me that they won. This game, it won't surprise me if they win. It won't surprise me if they win by 2 touchdowns. The offense is that dynamic. My thing is, I'm expecting the Chiefs defense to show up a little bit, and I feel like this is going to be kind of a shootout, back and forth game, and I will take Patrick Mahomes with the experience in the Super Bowl already, and he's seen it all. You know, he the Niners Super Bowl, we saw him come from behind with a good team, it was a good matchup one, then we saw him in an absolute disaster class against the Buccaneers where everything around him fell apart. But you can't say that guy didn't play well. Patrick Mahomes was trying his damnedest to win that game. The rest of the team was not. So
got turf in the process too.
Yeah, especially not the offensive line. So but he's been here, he's done that.
This is his third Super Bowl and is this his 6th year? Fifth?
I think fifth.
Yeah,
year.
That's crazy. I mean, my thing is Kansas City's kind of getting that level where I always used to say, don't bet against Brady and the Patriots because you never know. They always find a way. Kansas City's getting like that. So I think it's going to be interesting. You got any parlays going on in this game?
No.
No? You sticking away from the betting on this one?
Yes.
Man. I still got to cook something up. We'll see what we get to. But we're both going Kansas City. You think Philly covers? You think it's a 1-point game?
Probably not. I'll take Kansas City by field goal.
I got a feeling it's going to be like 29-25 Kansas City.
All right.
But That's the last game of the year for predictions.
It is.
We're done. I mean, I don't know if you still got the records. We lost count of those a while ago.
Oh, yeah. We next season we will have an official total at the end.
Yeah, yeah. But NFL awards were last night, which I for some reason I thought they were Saturday. I didn't know it was going to be Friday night. But I think everything went according to what everyone thought it was going to be. Patrick Mahomes, MVP. Yeah, we'll talk about that one first. I mean, really, it was Patrick Mahomes, then that was about it, I felt like.
People will say Jalen, and, you know, he had an amazing season. You don't discredit him for not winning MVP, but he did miss two games. And I think that's what ended up dinging him ultimately. But, I mean, I don't think even if he played those other games, he would have caught Mahomes because it's just – it was just his year.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is better than his first MVP year.
Yeah.
I if you just look at all the stats, there's no way I feel like Jalen Hurts – I don't want to say he doesn't come close, but there's still a gap. And then after those two, no one should be in contention, I feel like, outside of those two. Just because the MVP is a quarterback award now, you know it's going to just be quarterbacks. Offensive player of the year, Justin Jefferson. He was the favorite. Behind him was Tyreek Hill. Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts were also in the running. I feel like if you're going to just have MVP be quarterback award, offensive player of the year should be someone who doesn't play quarterback.
Yeah.
Outside of them was McCaffrey, Kels, A.J. Brown, and Saquon. I think they got it right with Jefferson.
I'm going to go to bat for Christian McCaffrey right here because he was disrespected at every turn this season. First and foremost, all I heard about was he can't stay healthy. And he stayed healthy in that he was going to be a detriment to the 49ers because of how much draft capital we gave up and how much he's paid. That is, to me, you know, there might be two or three more trades, but that's the greatest midseason acquisition of all time. He completely changed our offense. He is the reason. I mean, Brock Purdy played amazing. Him and Brock are the reason we got as far as we did. And I'll be damned if the rest of the team got their ass beat by Philly and we just got worn down and I'll be damned if that offense gave up, because they didn't. And Christian McCaffrey tried his hardest to win that game without a quarterback.
He scored.
Doesn't get any love. Yeah, he doesn't get any love for offensive player of the year. Didn't get any love from comeback player of the year. He was snubbed on the all-pro teams. Christian McCaffrey was that guy this year.
I mean, he's Kyle Shanahan's perfect running back, I feel like.
Yes.
He fits the system so well. I mean, when healthy, he's always been one of the best running backs in the league. Give this man his flowers again. But I think they got it right with Jefferson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was really a race between him and Tyreek Hill this entire season to see who would get to 2K yards. And honestly, if Justin Jefferson played with Patrick Mahomes, he would get 2K yards. Unfortunately, he plays with Kirk Thuggins. So,
very unfortunate. Cousins.
Yeah, he couldn't get there.
I think there's probably going to be many more for him to come. I'm excited to see what his future looks like. Hopefully, it's not going to still have Kirk Cousins in the future, but you never know. Defensive player of the year. This one's no shocker. I mean, Nick Bosa. We've been saying it for weeks.
I will admit it should have been closer between him and Reddick. I think Reddick had an unbelievable season. But, yeah, I mean, Nick Bosa, he's been getting disrespected the last couple seasons, so I'm glad that he finally got his flowers and got the Defensive Player of the Year award. And it's not automatically going to Aaron Donald every season anymore.
Yeah, Aaron Donald, there was a year with T.J. Watt where everyone thought T.J. Watt should got it, Aaron Donald got it. I mean, Aaron Donald's great, but there's also guys who can be just as good as him on these defensive lines. A couple of guys in the running. You said Reddick. Micah Parsons was up there too. I mean, he slowed down at the end of the year, but he does a little bit more in the pass game, in the zone coverage. That's why he wasn't getting the sacks. And honestly, I think he just got tired out. And I think it showed. And he got fatigued towards the end. Myles Garrett was also in the running. I mean, Myles Garrett is great, but I don't think he stood out compared to the guys in front of him. Same with Max Crosby. He had a terrific year. I think he was an all-pro snub. I think he definitely should have been able to be on a team. Chris Jones, it's weird because usually a lot of people step up in the playoffs, like they're numbers go up. For him, it's a little different. Like last week or 2 weeks ago was his first career postseason sack, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he put up around 15 in the regular season. But again, Nick Bosa, I think there's still a step above Chris Jones, at least on the defensive line. I think he's way better.
And what's crazy is that Nick Bosa did this on the worst iteration of the San Francisco 49ers line in terms of depth that I've seen in the past couple of years. The defense as a whole was much better, but our front four was probably the weakest it's been since
he's been there.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe since he's been there. And he was getting triple teamed and double teamed all season, and it didn't matter. He took over games. And, you know, he did struggle in the playoffs a little bit, but the entire line struggled. I think we just kind of got exposed on that front, to be honest. But he had an amazing season. I'm glad he got his flowers and got an award to prove how good he was.
Hey, you never know. They might be able to bring in Joey Bosa, have a Bosa line.
Oh, stop.
That's your dream right there.
Man.
I'll let you keep dreaming on that one. But we'll go to Offensive Rookie of the Year. Ended up going to Garrett Wilson, which he was probably the most consistent out of these guys, I feel like, and played the most.
Well, I mean, you have him and Kenneth Walker. I felt like we're 1 and 2.
Yeah.
In my eyes. Brock was up there, but to me, if you put Brock Purdy up there, you should have put Breece Hall up there, because even in the amount of games Breece Hall played, he was just as impactful. You know, I know it's a completely different situation. He's a quarterback going to the, you know, NFC Championship game, and Breece Hall is on the Jets. But, you know, Breece Hall was electric, and I feel like he got that injury so early in the season, people just forgot about him. But, I mean, if Breece Hall had stayed healthy, he would have been the runaway Offensive Rookie of the Year. So if you put Brock up there for half a season, you should put Breece Hall up there. But yeah, Garrett Wilson put up 1,100 yards, dog, with me and you throwing to him. Like, come on now.
I would never expected it. I'm not going to lie. But I'm glad he brought that up about Brock Purdy, because I was just about to say that. I mean, he had a tremendous year. But he only played 6 games, so it's like – you can't really take into account compared to some of these other guys. Christian Watson was also in the running. I don't think he should have got it, just because he was terrible in the first half.
And for the same reason, Chris Olave, I know people love Chris Olave, and I'm a huge Chris Olave fan as well. I think he's going to have a great career in this league. He slowed down a lot in the second half. A lot. And, you know, that can be attributed to the offensive struggles that the Saints had, but Garrett Wilson played on a much worse offense, and he did not slow down. He only got better as the season progressed.
And it's crazy, because the Defensive Rookie of the Year, Sauce Gardner, for the Jets. I mean, this rookie class for the Jets is amazing. You know, you have Wilson,
Gardner, and Hall. Man.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great job by that front office with the Jets and Robert Saleh. Defensive Rookie of the Year, I don't think anyone else was really in the running. I mean, Sauce Gardner was an All-Pro.
Yeah.
And the guy, Woolen, was behind him. Hutchinson was also behind him. Hutchinson was good, but, I mean, we're talking about Aiden Hutchinson, who had a great rookie year, but Sauce Gardner was an All-Pro. How you can't deny the guy Rookie of the Year with that.
Sauce Gardner came in and is already a top 5 corner in the NFL. So there's just not a whole lot you're gonna do there.
And then the NFL Comeback Player of the Year, it was given to Geno, which we've seen guys in the running get this award, or guys that are in the running earn the award race because of they played bad the year before. We saw this with James Conner last year. But honestly, this award needs to be divided up. We need a Comeback Player of the Year award and a Most Improved Player of the Year award, because comeback can be for guys who are coming off injuries. We see it a lot in the NFL.
Absolutely agree. You know, and we talked about this right before we recorded this. Nick Gates, I felt like, was easily should have been Comeback Player of the Year, for going off of what we, you know, what we want to talk about, because Alex Smith, listen, Alex Smith is an amazing story. It's, you know, it's a miracle he was able to step back under center on an NFL field. But come on, man, he didn't play well. You know what I mean? No. And I 100% agreed with him getting comeback player of the year. That's not, I'm not, you know, trying to down him getting the award. I agreed with it. I think he should have gotten it just because the work and effort he put in to get back on the field is miraculous. The same thing can be said for Nick Gates, but because he plays offensive line, he gets no love. What did Geno Smith coming back from, man? Being ass? Being a backup his whole career? Listen, it's a great story. I don't disagree with him winning the award. I'm just saying, give him most improved. You know, let him win that award. Let the comeback player of the year award be to highlight these stories of players, you know, doing amazing.
Persevering. Like,
I feel like, you know, I don't want to say it's a pity award, but if Damar Hamlin plays a full season next year, Damar Hamlin probably going to win comeback player of the year.
Yeah. Which, I mean, in that case, rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not denying that. I'm just saying we're being inconsistent with the award depending on what the storyline is.
Yeah, because I kind of felt like that last year too, because the final three, I believe, were Burrow, Prescott, and James Conner. And Burrow came off an ACL injury. We saw Prescott's injury. I mean, he snapped his ankle in half. And then James Conner he's coming back from a bad season with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on. And then this year, some of the other players who were in the running for it, Saquon, he's coming off numerous seasons with injuries. Christian McCaffrey, again, probably the last two seasons before this, he was battling injuries the whole year.
Yeah.
And then you have Jared Goff. It's like, what's he coming back from? He got traded to Detroit and didn't have the best season. It's like, come on. And then Derrick Henry, I kind of get this one just because he was coming off the ACL injury. No one expected him to be as good as he did, or as he was again, I feel like, this year.
Foot injury.
I'm sorry. I'm usually running backs, I'm always thinking knee injuries.
Of course, obviously.
I'm sorry. but like you said, this needs to just be divided up. Because say Geno Smith does get the most improved, who do you think deserved or earned comeback player of the year the most?
Nick Gates. I feel like if we're going to make it about injuries and about perseverance, it's an amazing story that he was able to play football again and get back on the field for the Giants.
Yeah, because I don't know if a lot of people have seen this injury, but he basically snapped his leg in half.
Yeah, I mean, he had a very similar injury to what happened to Alex Smith.
Yeah. And honestly, it's tougher for him to play in the role he is with that injury.
Yeah, I mean, he's an offensive lineman, an interior offensive lineman at that. I mean, those guys are getting pounded into the dirt every damn snap, so.
And then we got assistant coach of the year, D'Amico Ryan.
D'Amico, my boy.
Yeah. I mean, this one's rightfully due. I mean, just look at the defense that he did with San Fran. I mean, this defense was shut down. And now he's the Houston Texans head coach. I mean, he got rewarded for his efforts. But I don't know if it's a reward to be Houston Texans head coach.
He's going to turn that organization around, okay?
I hope so.
D'Amico Ryans alone. He's going to make the Houston Texans better than they are. I don't know how far.
You were going to say great, weren't you?
Yeah, we're just going to say better than they are.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about that deal is he's got time. They gave him time. It's not like, okay, we want instant success. No, they gave him 6 years. So
they also have most of their talent on the defensive side of the ball. And this is just like when Robert Saleh went to the Jets. You're going to see the Houston Texans defense get much better. All D'Amico has to do is not mess up the offensive coordinator position like Robert Saleh did. And don't draft Zach Wilson. And the offense will be better.
Simple. He doesn't have to. He's already been drafted. And then we got head coach of the year. Rightfully so. It goes to Brian Daboll. I mean, the fact that this team made the playoffs is amazing.
They were making us scratch our head every week on how they were winning games. I mean, we kept saying this can't continue to happen. Like, eventually this team is going to lose. And it took them all the way until the divisional round of the playoffs to lose. They beat the Vikings in a playoff game on the road with a roster that had Isaiah Hodgins at wide receiver one, which is all you need to know.
He was a practice squad receiver for most of the year.
Yeah, it got cut and, you know, didn't get picked up until like 4 or 5 weeks left in the season. So
it's I know I was completely shocked with how well New York was playing, just because you look at the roster and the talent. They shouldn't be in some of these games. They have defensive talent, but the offense they were able to stick up with some of them.
Yeah, no business being in this. And, you know, you look at Daniel Jones, he had 15 passing touchdowns this year. Like, they had no business winning a playoff game, let alone making the playoffs, you know, with the roster they had.
And I'm glad he got it, because you look at some of the guys in the running, Nick Sirianni, Kyle Shanahan, for me, and Kevin O'Connell. These are teams that, like, have already been built up for him. Like, they have a lot of talent. So I feel like it's easier to coach and win games when you have that.
Yeah, in a season like this, especially, having Sirianni or Kyle Shanahan win it over, and even Doug Peterson to an extent, because Jacksonville had much more talent than the Giants. Having one of them win it over Brian Daboll would have been just highway robbery. I mean, he should have been, I don't know if he was unanimous, it should have been unanimous. I think Kyle Shanahan got a decent amount of votes, which Kyle Shanahan, I get it, he won with, you know, Trey Lance gets injured week two, Jimmy Garoppolo goes down week eight, and Brock Purdy comes in. I get it. We won a lot of games with our third string quarterback and everything, and we got to the NFC Championship game. I understand that as a Niners fan. I understand that. He also had the best defense in the league, the assistant coach of the year, and an offense that is not built around elite quarterback play. What did Brian Daboll have? Like, they didn't give him his own quarterback. He had to work with Daniel Jones, and he pretty much turned Daniel Jones into, like, the prototypical game manager. Like, he tried to give Daniel Jones the least amount of responsibility possible, but it's not like he had any weapons to, you know, make it easier for him. He's throwing the ball to Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah.
So, it was just simple. It should have been unanimous.
Yeah, I felt like he was the runaway, and for me, second was Dan Campbell, just because, I mean, the fact that they ended up only missing the playoffs by one game after the start they had to the year, I think that's great. He secured another year at that job. Because if they went, like, with a 3 or 4 win season, I felt like he would have been gone, just because they would have been like, okay, you're not really making any progress.
Yeah, if you don't make any progress and you're investing all this capital and you're signing all these guys, then it would have been a bad look.
But I think that's what Coach of the Year should be like. Not who has the best record, just who has done the best with the talent they've been given. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like we have this conversation every year with the guy that, you know, goes to the NFC Championship game, the Super Bowl, and that coach goes, you know, 15-2 or, you know, 14-3, and I get it, they had an amazing season. But there's also always a team that goes 9-7 or 9-8 now, sneaks into the playoffs with a roster that was either just absolutely decimated by injuries or had no business being there. And I feel like those are the coaches that should get this award, not the guys that have the really good teams that were built up and are, you know, supposed to be contenders. I get that you can say the Eagles weren't supposed to be contenders, but anyone with a brain saw the strides that Jalen Hurts was making and could project that this roster was going to be much better and should win the East. I think the Eagles were picked to win the East. Yeah. So, like, you know, it wasn't a surprise that they're here.
Yeah. I think you hit everything on the head. I mean, this is it. That was every award, right?
Yep.
After this week, or after this Sunday, football's done. What are we,
for a while?
What are we doing after that? What are we going to do?
I mean, I guess we can start talking about the NBA soap opera, but
we will be talking about the NBA, but we got some big plans ahead.
We do.
We've decided after this Sunday, we're going to talk about basketball still. Probably do every other week for basketball, but we are going to stick with the football content. We are going to put ourselves in GM roles. I mean, we do it a lot in in fantasy land. Let's see if we can bring some of this knowledge and see what we can do. We're going to try to rebuild every team in the NFL. What a perfect rebuild will look like for this team. You want to explain a little bit more for him, Jordan?
Yeah, you know, we're going to go through every division as the offseason's rolling around. And, you know, if we don't get to a team by the time all their moves are made or whatever, we'll just talk about what they did. But we're going to go through every team, every division. We'll go by divisions. And just talk about what they should do in the offseason, what their roster looks like, where, you know, where should they be headed? And I feel like there's a lot to talk about with every team, and I want to cover every team, but, you know, some teams it might be short. That's why we're going to go by division. You know, for the 49ers, what do they really do? You know, for the Eagles, what do they really do? So, you know, there's some teams that it won't be as in-depth, but then there's some teams like the Saints, you know, the people are talking about getting Derek Carr, and you look at their roster. You know, there's a lot of decisions to be made there. We're going to try to make those decisions for them. And if, you know, we...
For free.
They could pay us. Yeah, they could pay us, but...
It's cool. It's whatever. We don't care. But, I mean, these are going to be some exciting episodes. I can't wait. We're going to put our GM knowledge to the test. Anything else you want to add, though? I mean, I got nothing else for this episode. Do you?
No, man. I feel like we're on the precipice of...
Greatness.
Of the greatest day of the year, yeah. Super Bowl Sunday, even if I am sad. And I can't wait to watch the commercials. I mean, it's the only time I'm happy watching commercials. And I hope Rihanna has a great halftime show as well. It's going to be a great day.
I'm excited for the Rihanna halftime show. And I need to defend her because Stephen A. Smith a couple weeks ago said it should have been Beyonce. There's nothing. Rihanna is amazing. Don't spoil her day like this.
Yeah.
Okay. I get a lot of people like Beyonce. I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan, but
I've seen Beyonce.
Yeah. You know,
Rihanna hasn't released music in forever.
And 6 years.
She's finally back in the mainstream, and we're over here trying to say that it should have been Beyonce or that she's no Beyonce. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
We want to see Rihanna.
We're gonna see Rihanna performing. We're gonna see Greg Olson dancing in the booth. I mean, that's a perfect day for me.
They should really start letting the players stay out there for the halftime show.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Sirianni was asked that question, and he just shot it down. I mean, I get why, but I think it'd be dope.
Listen, you know, I feel like the guys, it's about having fun, man.
Yeah.
Look at George Kittle. You know,
look at McPherson last year.
Kirk Cousins. You know, those guys were singing and dancing at the NFL honors, and that was the best part of the show. Those guys have personality, man. They're not machines.
Yeah.
You know, what's watching a halftime show going to do? You know, what's it really going to do? Is it going to check them out of the game? You don't think they want to win the game? Yeah. I listened to some Rihanna live. I'm seeing her perform. I'm going to be amped up for the second half. I'm going to be ready to go out there and run through a brick wall.
But if it was Drake, you'd win the MVP.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, if I was on the field and Drake, I'm winning MVP.
For not just the game, the whole.
Hey, Rihanna has some songs.
With I was just about to say that's what I was trying to tie it in.
Hey, there's always a special guest. You know, there's always somebody.
There's rumors that she's going to play Work too.
Hey, you know,
I'm just saying, you never know. But, make sure you are stay tuned for next episode because things are going to change here on the locker room. You're going to have to wait and see what it is, but we're in for some big plans. But that is all for us today. Thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next time.
Peace.